Hi, today is July 2nd, 2017, and this is Todd Agosawar, Midweek Podcast number 211. And oh yeah, my alleged good friend John Westphal's here too.
I'm still here. I'm still a good friend.
I'm still hurting from 209.
We'll talk later about letting things go, under the bridge.
I don't want to let things go, but anyway. All right, so here we go. So two real short items before we get to a couple of long ones, I think. One, if I get this thing out the doors quick enough, Google Play has a sale going on through July 6th, which is, let me think, Tuesday's the 4th, so Thursday. Yeah, this should be out by then. So apps, actually, was it apps? Well, for sure, TV shows and movies, some are on sale, including some rentals. Books, I haven't bought anything yet. I looked, I didn't see anything I wanted, but you might see something you like. At any rate, go to play.google.com if you're a customer there. And you don't need an Android, by the way. You know, you can buy stuff to watch on your computer of any kind or an iOS device. Works on everything. And the other sale item is coming, I guess, next week. Amazon Prime Day. I think it's Amazon Prime Day number 3 on July 11th. I don't know what festivities you have planned for that day, John. You know, it's a solemn day.
I tend to get away with not spending much on Prime Day. I think in the last 2 years I maybe bought one thing on Prime Day. But in general, I have everything that I need. I do have an Amazon order in the mail right now, but I can't quite wait. My sunglasses broke yesterday, so I have to get a new pair of sunglasses, which I couldn't wait. Sorry, Amazon. Had to do this earlier than July 11th.
Sorry, they're happy you paid whatever. potentially higher price. Folks are predicting this is going to be a big one, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, I haven't really bought much big things. I've bought maybe like a little Bluetooth speaker. And, you know, by little, I mean literally like $20, you know, off 10 or something. Cables, that sort of thing. Nothing big, so I can't say I've saved a tremendous amount of money, but I always appreciate a sale on stuff I might want, so looking forward to that Amazon Prime. Oh, and before I forget, one of the reasons I kind of hesitated when I started this podcast is, and I got things kind of out of order, is because, as you might remember, I've been having problems with Audio Hijack version 3, formerly Audio Hijack Pro, which I've been using since 2008. Finally was forced to upgrade it, and I imported the workflow that I've been using for, you know, like 9 years. And all of a sudden, I could hear myself. Now, it wasn't tremendously bad since it wasn't an echo, but it was annoying. And I mentioned it to John, and John was unsympathetic. But but at any rate, I wrote to Audio Hijack support. They got back to me in less than 24 hours, as promised, by the way. That's their autoresponder, says we'll get back to you in 24 hours, which they did. The helpful support person gave me, saying, hey, you know, we're sorry the import didn't work, but try this. They have a template called Voice Chat, which I'm using now. I made one small modification, and that is the audio file format. I think it defaults to MP3. And I'm changing it to AIFF so I can run my Levelator volume meter. And thanks to John for letting me use his Zoom.us as a test for the last couple of weeks. We may have to do that again someday, or I may have to actually shell out money to to do it. Or we have to have podcasts less than 40 minutes long, which we tend to do anyway.
Or we could always get a sponsor. As we frequently mention, we are up to be bought.
That's so right.
If you're thinking, I don't think I have enough money to buy those guys' opinion of me, you are probably wrong.
That's so right.
So just talk to us.
We're cheap and we're not proud.
Yeah, exactly. We're the best combination.
That's right. So you want us to shill whatever. Audiobooks, I'm there.
Oh, yeah.
Food that ships to your door, even though it doesn't ship to Hawaii, I'm there. I'll promote that, even though I can't try it. We're good.
I'll eat Todd's share of the food that you send us to try out.
Or Zoom.us if you want us to shill your fine service, which we use twice now in an emergency. We would be happy to endorse that because we actually like that one. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should say I like Audible also. So Audible. I don't think John listens to audiobooks. Do you listen to audiobooks?
I do. I haven't listened to them in a while. I would love to get back into it, Audible. So, you know,
hey,
there are so many opportunities for us to be bought.
That's right. And this is the way to do it. I'm already a subscriber, so, you know, I'm cheap. John can be bought. Anyway, thanks to Rogue Amoeba for their fine technical support. Seems to be working. I can't hear myself in the headphones. Now we'll find out if we're actually recording anything.
Maybe we should have done a test. If anyone's hearing this, know that the test was not done and it went well anyway.
Yeah. So, but it looks like it. Their voice chat template includes a peak RMS meter. And when I talk, I see it popping up. And when John talks, I see a different bar popping up. So it seems to record in both sides. And the recorder app says it's recording. We're 6 minutes into this recording, so all looks well. Okay.
Very good.
Yep. And now for, I think, what's going to be the majority. Well, it's a toss-up. The other one, the next one might be a majority of this podcast. So, John, something you bought came in?
Yes. So, I'm experiencing a little bit of a technology refresh right now because Apple still hasn't gotten me my new Mac Mini, so I've got nothing else to buy right now.
Good luck with that.
And I'm not looking to upgrade my iPhone or my Apple Watch until maybe later this year, but I thought, you know, a couple other things might be nice to upgrade. So I decided I had an iPad Air 2 and an iPad Pro 12.9 that had been sitting, both of them had mostly been sitting in a drawer. I used the iPad Air once a week for the last couple of months, and the iPad Pro never a week. For the last few months. So I thought, well, you know what? It's time to try something new. So I sold the iPad Pro 12.9, and I am in the process of probably selling the iPad Air 2 as well. And I thought, okay, I'll try this new iPad Pro, the 10.5-inch. Mm-hmm. So I purchased that, and it showed up a couple of days ago. I have the Apple Smart Keyboard for it. I still have my Apple Pencil from the iPad Pro 9 or 12.9, and I have even the Apple leather sleeve, which is an interesting thing for Apple. I did not think they'd go this route, but I thought, well, I'll see how it works. I used it. I've used it maybe 5-6 hours since I got it. Graded papers with it on Thursday afternoon, and I'm pretty happy,
I just want to back up. So when you say graded papers, does that mean you were using the pencil to mark things up, or how did that
I
work?
Would have, except these were actually presentations, and I was watching YouTube videos and then marking with the pencil comments and then typing them out on the Apple Smart Keyboard.
I see. Okay. So, just curious.
Yeah, I was doing as much as I could with it. So my initial impressions are pretty good. The screen looks a lot nicer than the other two screens. It's a lot more crisp and clear, which is surprising because I didn't read too much about the new iPad Pro before I purchased it. I just wanted the most up-to-date thing, and so I was pleasantly surprised by how rich the screen looks colors.
I think the new 10.5 is either brighter or has greater saturation or something, but I recall hearing like something on MacBreak Weekly or one of those kind of podcasts saying, yeah, the 10.5 screen is a noticeable improvement over past iPad Pros, including the 9.7-inch that I bought last year.
Yeah, and the way things look, for example, I've been reading the Game of Thrones books, and I have the enhanced version on iBooks, and I can tell a difference between looking at it on here and looking at it on my iPad Mini, which is kind of saying something for just text on a page. But it looks a little bit more vivid here, a little bit brighter. So I've been pretty happy with it.
Nice. Now, how much RAM did you order?
I ordered the 256.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because my iPad Air 2 was a 64 gig Air 2. I'd never filled it. Mm-hmm. My iPad Pro was a 32 gig. It was starting to get a little bit close. And my iPhone is a 32 gig, and I kind of regret that I did that. So I thought, well, 256, that'll keep me good for a while. And it should also allow me to download content.
Right.
One of the things that I sort of mentioned is that I still, unlike you, I am still very technologically heavy when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure why. What I tend to travel with is my iPhone, an iPad mini,
mm-hmm.
An iPad. I was taking the Air 2 along,
mm-hmm.
and my Surface Pro, and a MacBook Pro.
That is a lot.
Yes, I don't really know why I take all these things.
That's that's a lot.
Although on my last trip, I took all of that except the iPad Air 2, and I actually did use all
of them.
That's
because you sold it.
Well, yeah. No, the Air 2 I haven't sold yet, but my last trip, there were things I had to pull the Surface Pro out for that were work-related, and then there was home-related stuff that I pulled out the MacBook Pro to run. This has brought up a few questions. The first is about the iPad Mini. You and I are both iPad Mini users.
Absolutely.
But we have been hearing these persistent rumors that the iPad Mini is going away at some
point.
Yes, these are horrible rumors.
Terrible.
For you and I. So I'm really kind of, this is the only part of my iPad and iPhone infrastructure I haven't quite figured out yet. My iPad Mini 3, I bought that in October of 2015 when it came out,
mm-hmm.
or 2014. The home button is starting to get a little gummy on it from repeated wear and tear and use.
It's out of warranty, I assume.
Yeah, it is, I'm sure, out of warranty now because it's been almost 3.5 years. I will double check, actually. It's a good point. I just assume that if I keep things long enough that I can't remember purchasing them, that they're out of warranty. But I thought, well, I could upgrade to the Mini 4, which is not a great option because I'm only on the Mini 3 now, so it's not going to give me a huge bump. I could wait for the Mini 5, but I might be waiting forever if there never is a Mini 5. Yep. Might be waiting just as long as a Mac Mini.
Yep.
I could phase it out in favor of putting everything on the iPad Pro, which would simplify my life. It would simplify travel. I'm not sure how I would feel about going to a larger screen for watching videos and reading books at night in bed.
Well, I was going to say the where the iPad Mini really shines is in cattle class on airlines. Whereas, where I always go.
As I think I might have mentioned once or twice on the podcast before, I am a giant. Let's see. I weigh as of this morning like 410 pounds.
No.
Yes, I do.
I'm that big.
Oh yeah. I have a big enough stomach, but it's mostly in the rest of me. I'm evenly distributed, aside from a large belly.
Yeah, you don't look like you're. Well, I would have said you were about 280.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. And so that's the annoying part about being me is that I'm largely distributed everywhere. So sitting in coach is just a miserable experience for me all
in
around.
General,
my shoulders are too far apart. So I tend to sit in coach looking as cramped up as possible, trying to avoid taking up any space that's not my space to take up.
Yeah, as I said, you're very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Kind,
considerate. That's the word I was looking for. Considerate.
Yes. But here's the thing. I can't use anything in coach.
Yeah.
I can barely use my iPhone. And that requires me to like hold it as my arms are crossed, kind of hold it with one of my hands looking up at me. So that I can understand. Yeah, the Mini Pro or the Mini would be great in coach, but I haven't been able to use anything in coach other than an iPad. iPhone.
You need like virtual reality or AR glasses in coach.
I was really hoping that Google Glass would take off, and it never did, because that would be one thing that would work well for me.
Well, that's why I watch movies on that thing anyway, but but something like it, yeah.
So my go-to when I fly are podcasts and audiobooks.
I was going to say self-medication, but okay.
I could do that too. And standing. It's nice when you take a red eye. A little-known benefit of a red eye is that when everyone's asleep, you can stand in the aisle and walk up and down, go talk to the stewardess, and they're generally happy when
flight
you talk
attendants,
to them.
Flight attendants. We need to be politically correct.
Well, whoever they are, whatever they like to call themselves, they generally are friendly when you don't want anything other than just say hello. So, especially on a long red eye where the only time that they get to interact with people is in some demanding, annoying interaction.
Right, or dragging them off the plane. But anyway.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what was your thoughts as a fellow iPad mini user? You also have the full-size iPad. You think it's possible if you've been using a mini since, well, geez, minis came out, to go to a full-size for everything?
I think you can if you don't mind a larger bag to carry it. I mean, right now I have a really tiny bag, a man bag, a MRS, whatever you want to call it, that my iPad mini fits in just fine. And I'll give a shout out to the bag I'm using now. I'm using, oh gosh, what's it called? But anyway, it's a company that Rick Steves owns, my travel guru that I've never actually met in person, but
yes,
his videos I've enjoyed. Decided to buy his luggage because I enjoy his videos so much. And basically, I think it's called like a day bag or something. You know, something you just carry around while you're traveling. But I carry it every day, 7 days a week. And it's small. I mean, I would say it's about the size of a woman's purse, maybe. Kind of a biggish one, a medium-sized one. It's big enough for an iPad mini, not big enough for an iPad regular size. When I have to carry an iPad or a tablet, let's say a Surface Pro or something like that, it's a problem. I have to get a bigger bag. I mean, a significantly bigger bag. So I'm really, I only travel with an iPad mini these days. I have an iPad mini and my phone and a camera, a regular digital camera. I don't carry a notebook. I don't carry a full-size iPad. I don't carry a Surface Pro. They're just too big. But I guess forced to, it'd be okay.
This is reminding me of something that a bag that unfortunately is out of stock right now, but it is one of my favorites that I picked up last year. And it's ThinkGeek has something that they call the Bag of Holding Con Survival Edition. and it's interesting because it's made to take to like a comic convention. I'll put a link in our show notes. But it has actually been about the most versatile bag that I have used in a long time.
But it's not there anymore, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they'll bring it back. I actually got it for free with my ThinkGeek points.
Wow.
And when they do have it, they charge around $30 for it. It's a very reasonable bag. But the cool thing about it is, A, it's got a big Velcro front on it, so you can put a bunch of patches and other cool stuff on there. I actually use those at work, and people know my bag because it's got random things on it.
Oh, that's a nice
bag. The inside is just big enough for – I actually had held my Surface Pro, my iPad Pro, the big one, and a small planner in the main pocket. And it was big enough for all that. Plus, the strap can go crossbody or it can just be a shoulder bag. Yeah. So I highly recommend if they ever get it back in stock.
It says it's out of stock since August 30th, 2014, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that too, but I did buy it in 2016.
Oh,
so
you
I'm
did?
Not.
Okay.
I don't quite think that's right.
Okay.
So yeah, but it's interesting how bags, I have a ton of bags over here, just like you have different bags.
I'm a bag collector.
But it's weird how sometimes the cheapest ones are the most versatile and useful. And this one, like I said, I got it for free with just redeeming points that I had on ThinkGeek. So.
Right. I should note that the Rick Steves bag, and again, I don't have any stock in a company. I think it's privately held. Never met the guy. Just enjoy his videos. The Rick Steves day bag I bought, I think it's like $25. So it's and shipping was like really reasonable, like, you know, a couple dollars.
This is not in our show notes, but it's very interesting to me how some of the bag companies out there that you can get bags from, if they aren't specializing in technology bags or purses or briefcases, if they just make bags, they tend to make bags that are pretty good, pretty durable, and pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your Rick Steves bag is very much like it. There's another company that I own no stock in, but I will put a link in our show notes to call County Com. They are a contractor that sells to the U.S. government, and then whatever overrun they have, they sell on their own website. So they have a number of cool things, but for example, they have a bag that is very similar to the ThinkGeek bag that I have that they call the Tack Pad, that you can have both vertical or horizontal. It's got loops for a lot of things. It's got big pockets, and it's $23.50. So you get some cool stuff if you're willing to look outside of just the places you think you should buy a bag from.
Right.
The Targuses or the Timbuktus. I mean, those are good bags, but sometimes they're very expensive for what you actually get.
Yeah. And I should note that one of my favorite, well, it used to be one of my favorite brands was Eagle Creek. And I'm not, they never did anything bad to me. Their stuff lasted years and years and years. I still use a couple of them after like 20 plus years. So then they're durable. The only thing is they just seem really expensive nowadays, you know? I don't know. I guess when I was younger, it didn't quite, you know, bother me as much or something. Or maybe because I didn't have a daughter in college and now grad school to pay for. but yeah, they're pretty. I'm looking at their day packs now. So for example, and they're like $100. They started at like $100. I'm looking at, you know, well, okay, there's a travel mini backpack for $65, but you know, nothing really comes close to the $25. Well, maybe there's a couple, but anyway, they just seemed kind of expensive when the last time I looked at them. Very durable, though. I would recommend it if you've got some money to spare and you want something that's going to last for decades, not months and years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, more about Apple's iPad Pro 10.5. So you got 256 gigs of storage. And you got the keyboard and you got a sleeve. Now, did you test the sleeve over the keyboard yet?
With the keyboard connected? It does fit with the keyboard connected. The only unknown that I have is I did purchase, since Apple is not making a back shell for this iPad, I did purchase an aftermarket one for, I think, $7 on Amazon. And I'm kind of hoping that there's enough room in there for the back shell to go on it as well. It is a little bit, it's spacious enough with the keyboard, but I'm worried it's going to be just a little too much, depending on how big this shell is. So I should know about that by midweek and can report back on our next podcast about how that worked out.
And I still can't find the Logitech keyboard I want on Amazon. I mean, I know which one I want. It's just not available on Amazon. But I think it comes with a back shell that also has a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the keyboard serves as a cover to protect the front. So looking forward to that. And why did you get this sleeve in addition, because the keyboard covers the screen, so it's not to protect the screen necessarily, right?
It was to have something that could go in one of my bags that would keep the iPad and also the iPad or the pencil, the Apple Pencil, nicely with it. So it's kind of a nice complete package here of something that you can take out of your bag, put in a bag, etc. It was more to just have for bag organization. Okay. And not to have to worry about where the pencil was.
Okay. And I should note, I think the Logitech keyboard I'm looking at, it comes with a pencil holder. So hoping I can find it on Amazon soon. Otherwise, I'm going to have a iPad Pro with no keyboard or no cover. How much is the sleeve, by the way? Is it like $50 like normal?
It's leather and it's Apple. So unfortunately, it is $129.
Oh my gosh, for a sleeve?
I know.
That's the same price as a smart keyboard. Or not quite, actually. That's $170, I guess.
It's a very nice sleeve.
Well, yeah, but ouch.
What can I say? When I decide to kit something out, I save up for it, so... This is mostly also just when people talk about how overpriced things are for Apple. I like to know firsthand if they are. This one, the jury's out. It may be overpriced, but it looks nice. It fits like a glove.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be nice in my bag to just kind of keep everything together.
And besides, if somebody asks you, hey, how much did that Apple pencil holder cost you? $129.
Yeah.
Because they figure that, you know, well,
I got to tell you, we really need those sponsors. So anyone who is willing to pay us off.
Especially Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Or Google, Microsoft. We'll stop talking about iPads, Microsoft. If you.
Oh, yeah. We both have Surfaces. That's all we will talk about.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
We'll forget they even existed.
What exists?
Yeah, exactly. What's this company named after a fruit?
Yeah.
I mean, the pear or mango or something like that.
Yeah. Orange, watermelon. The watermelon one. Okay, so you like the screen. It's fast. Have you bought any iPad? Well, since you already had an iPad Pro, have you tried any iPad Pro specific apps? And does it, you know, is it noticeably different, or is just the screen is nicer, basically?
I haven't tried anything that was too iPad Pro specific. I did buy Procreate at some point.
Yeah.
I do plan on loading that in to play around with it, but
That is an awesome app, by the way.
That's what I hear. And I played with it enough to know you're correct, sir. So.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got that. The screen is really nice. Any gotchas on it so far?
Just the price. Very expensive when you kit it out the way I did with 256, and you get the keyboard and
and the sleeve.
And the sleeve. But of course, when I sold the iPad Pro, which it had been 2 years, almost 2 years old, so it wasn't a brand new one. Yeah. But I did recoup quite a bit of the cost to make it more reasonable by selling off that 12.9-inch.
Yeah. Okay, and now that you have space, because like you, my iPad Pro 9.7 only has 32 gigs. And I bought it because it's kind of like when I bought the first iPad. I wasn't sure I was going to use it that much because I'm such an iPad mini user. Mm-hmm. I just knew I wanted something to replace my iPad 2. Mm-hmm. Which came out in 2011. Sorry, that was replaced last year after 5 years of fine use. Still works, I should note. Like I said, at first it was like, I'll watch stuff on Netflix now and then. Maybe I'll try to use Microsoft Office on it. Never really did much with that. The usual stuff, Evernote and Google Keep and whatever, email. But it wasn't until I started using Procreate to do my daily doodles that I really started using it a lot, and it really made a difference, mostly because of the pencil. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see how it's going to play for you. And since you carry bags anyway, I mean, I guess you carry, given what you showed me, the ThinkGeek stuff, which is kind of a larger bag than I carry, I don't think it's going to be a problem for you.
Yeah. So I'm optimistic to see how it runs over the next couple of months as I do this iteration of my daily carry. As you and I have both talked about, nothing ever stays the same with us. I'm definitely not the person. I remember when I went to grad school, my advisor at the time had a shoulder bag that I think he had for about 20 years.
Yeah.
It finally had died about 4 years into when I was in grad school, and he probably has the same bag now that he had the day after his other bag died. So, but I've never been that way. I guess I'm always in search of trying to find the best way to run my e-life. I will say one thing I'm very grateful for. This is geeks will appreciate this. Before last couple of weeks ago, I had a server that I was administering that in case of emergency, the only way to get into it was through a shaky VPN and then a Java interface to get to a console. It was just a really horrible way to get in if the machine wouldn't come up after a reboot. So now that that machine has been migrated to a cloud service, I don't need to carry as many actual computers anymore because everything I do need to do now would work on a tablet. But before that, I definitely needed Java and something that could do strange VPN configurations.
Yeah. And, since I don't know how the day count right now, but I believe the Mac Mini hasn't been updated in over 1,000 days.
It's getting so close. I check it every so often because I want to try. And it is getting very, very close. So as of today, the Mac Mini has not been updated in, drumroll, unfortunately, please, 990 days.
Whoa. We are close to 1,000.
We are. And on average, it gets updated every 438 days.
And that is a segue to my comment about the iPad Mini 4, which was released on September 9th, 2015. So it's going to be 2 years old in a couple of months.
And technically, it was refreshed 103 days ago when they did Basically moved it to 128 base. That's and then true. Dropped the price to $399. But still,
right,
it's not a new iPad mini. Right.
Yeah, and there is only one iPad mini 4 model now, and it is the 128 gigabyte model.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other model. So, Apple, we need a iPad mini Pro that supports Apple Pencil.
Mm-hmm. That would be beautiful. I would go for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. In fact, I think I would have bought that instead of the new 10.5 if it was available. Also, I need a folding keyboard. I need a keyboard that like unfolds beautifully and, you know, doesn't have any weird seams that I can, you know, that make me hit my thumb on a space bar that only partially moves in the middle.
Awesome. I need a Mac Mini.
Yeah, so. Me too. I only have one functional desktop Mac. It's a 2008 iMac. So it's going to be 10 years old soon. Upgraded the RAM. Again, inspired by you. You are the RAM inspirer. And it'd be nice to have an iPad Mini Pro. But that doesn't... I don't know. Apple just doesn't... any case. Okay, so I will continue to wait for your iPad Pro 10.5 comments. I'm looking forward to getting mine in one of these days. And next up is a rant. You can start.
Oh, yeah.
Although I'm going to join in.
So, as I was looking at my iPad Mini 3 and looking at the apps on it, two things came to mind. First, I have some games I really like that when you launch them now, they say, oh, this game's no longer going to work in the very near future because the developer has not updated it. Well, these are abandoned games because you can't even buy them anymore if you were to go on the App Store and want to buy them. That's very heartbreaking. It's things like Battleship and a few other classic board games that had very good iPad releases, Game of Life, things like that.
These are all EA games, aren't they?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. And another similar issue, I opened up an app the other day that doesn't get very frequent updates. It's kind of a niche vertical market app, but I tried to link it to Dropbox, and it said, oh, by the way, this version of the Dropbox API is being discontinued on June 28th. Thankfully, I opened it on June 26th. And you're not going to be able to use it anymore, and your developer has not acknowledged that they even know that this API is being deprecated. And so it's things like that that just are really frustrating when you've got companies that charge money for their apps. Both of the apps I'm talking about were pay apps. They were not free apps.
Yes.
I bought them both within the last 3 years. And I really don't like the idea that they're just going to die and I won't be able to play those games or use the Dropbox import feature of one of the other apps.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying because I ran into this actually a couple of years ago. There's another popular, I think, EA published game called Boggle, which is a word game that's, you know, named after the board game. And a couple of years ago, it just got dropped from the Apple Store. When I bought my then new iPhone or iPad Mini 4 or whatever it was back then, I could, even though I paid money for it, I couldn't install it on my new device, you know. And more recently, like you, and it's another EA distributed game. It's Civilization Revolution. I'm getting the same message you are, and it's no longer available in the Apple Store. So when my new iPad Pro comes in, I will not be able to install it on there. It is on my current iPad Pro, because it was removed sometime in the last, you know, 14 months. Whenever I got my iPad Pro. So my favorite game is not going to be available to me. And if I upgrade my iPad Pro, I can't play it on there either, which makes it even worse. I may have to keep the iPad 2 just to be able to play Civilization. but slowly, I should note. And I should also know there is a follow-up, a sequel that is available called Civilization Revolution 2, and it is terrible. And I paid money for it, and I wish I hadn't. But in any case, so I join you in that it's a problem. And, you know, this is not a problem in the PC world, right? I mean, even if you have a DOS game from, you know, 1995, you can always, you know, if you have to create a VM, which you can for free, you know, using VirtualBox or something, you could probably still run it. you know, as long as you still have the medium on which it came, presumably a CD-ROM or even a floppy or something, if you have a floppy reader or a CD-ROM reader. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other thing. So, yeah, I don't. And it's worse, you know, to me, the worst thing is that the company is still in existence, right? EA is still around, Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
We paid money for our games, and I think you pay money for your Dropbox, too, don't you?
I used to. I'm back on free. I was paid for a number of years.
Yeah. I've never paid for Dropbox, to be honest. You know, I'm now paying for a little bit of space on Google Drive. And I have space on, I was going to say SkyDrive, on OneDrive via my Office 365 annual subscription, which I paid by accident this year, but that's all right. it just renewed by itself. Sneaky guys, those guys at Microsoft. All right, so what do we do about it? I mean, is there a way, for example, to get the file from your old iPad or phone onto, say, a Mac and then force it to reload? There used to be a way to do that in iTunes. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Well, there is not an easy way to do that now, although there is an app that I came across a couple of weeks ago, now that you bring up apps that might be useful, called iBackup Viewer.
iBackup Viewer.
iBackup Viewer. I'll put a link in our show notes, but it's there's a free version of it. There's also a pro version, but the free version does everything that I need it to do. But it will basically, if you take a backup of your device to your computer, not to the cloud, but to your actual desktop,
right,
it will let you explore that backup and extract files from it. So, for example, the app that doesn't have the Dropbox updated API.
Yeah.
Not only does it not update the API for bringing in files, but once you have those files in the app, it doesn't allow you to export them back out again, which is very frustrating because it's an app that's designed for musicians, and so you want to get your music into it, and then if you make notes or annotations or anything like that, you'd like to get it back out so that when you go to a new version, it's right there. What I did find was that with this iBackup Viewer, the free edition, I was able to get into the application data for that app and pull out all those PDFs that I had imported and pull out my annotations and things like that. So I encourage anyone who does use Apple products to have this and at least take a couple of backups on your device so that you can pull out these files if you need them or pull out information that Apple itself does not freely enable you to pull out.
Right. Well, in the meantime, I am trying to play Civilization Revolution as often as possible until it stops working when the iOS 11 update is forced upon my iPad Pro. I guess I could deny it, but I, you know, sometimes it just updates by itself because, you know, you forget, you see something and go, oh, I didn't want to hit OK. I wanted to cancel it or whatever. And yeah, too late.
Yeah, it gets pretty mad if you try to do that. So,
yeah,
you know, Apple has been able to get rid of the fragmentation issue that has plagued Android so poorly, but it also means that we get dragged along even if we would not want to be dragged along.
Yeah. Okay, so folks, I need a new game to replace Civilization Revolution on iOS 11. Actually, I need it later this week when my iPad Pro 10.5 shows up because I can't install Civilization Revolution on it because it's no longer in the App Store. So I need a new favorite game. I like turn-based strategy games versus real-time, you know, I forget, what is it called? First-person shooters?
Mm-hmm.
I probably don't think fast enough to play first-person shooter games. So I'm looking for a strategy-type turn-based game like Civilization Revolution. I don't need fancy graphics. I kind of like the overhead view. If anybody's got a suggestion, please feel free to let me know. Okay, I am really curious to know how Audio Hijack 3 recorded this. I did not hear myself in my headphones, which was super duper. And as usual, I want to thank John. And, oh yeah, I almost forgot. For those of our Canadian friends, hope you had a great Canada Day. And my daughter's still there. I think she's flying. Actually, she's flying out now. And for those of us in the U.S., we're looking forward to July 4th, or at least I am.
And or as I've recently read it called and very much enjoy, Brexit 1776.
I hadn't heard that one. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it. I like it. Alrighty. So podcast 211 is in the can, or in the audio hijack can. Let's see how this worked. Talk to you later.